Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, text 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sriyo vritaistva hrishikeshvaram svato hyaradhya loke patim asasateyam tasam nate vai paripantya patyam Priyam dhanayusmiyato svatantra Striyo vritaistva hrishikeshvaram svato Kyaradhya loke patim asasate nyam Dasam nate vai paripantya patyam Priyam dhanayusmiyato svatantra Striyo vritaistva hrishikeshvaram svato Yaradhya loke patim asasate nyam Asmanvete paripantya patyam Priyam dhanayusmiyato svatantra Matajis Sriyo vritaistva hrishikeshvaram svato Yaradhya loke patim asasate nyam Samnate vai paripantya patyam Priyam dhanayusmiyato svatantra Word by word translation, if you like to repeat. Striya, all women, vritai, by observing fasting and other vows. Tva, you. Hrishikeshvaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Master of the Senses. Swataha, of your own accord. He, certainly. Aradhya, worshipping. Loke, in the world. Patim, a husband. Asasate, ask for. Anyam, another. Tasam, of all those women. Na, not. Te, the husbands. Vai, indeed. Paripanti, able to protect. Apatyam, the children. Priyam, very dear. Dhana, the wealth. Ayusmi, or the duration of life.
Yataha.
Because. Ashvatantraha. Dependent. Translation. My dear Lord, you are certainly the fully independent master of all the senses. Therefore, all women who worship you by strictly observing vows because they wish to acquire a husband to satisfy their senses are surely under illusion. They do not know that such a husband cannot actually give protection to them or their children, nor can he protect their wealth or duration of life, for he himself is dependent on time, fruitive results and the modes of nature, which are all subordinate to you. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, you are certainly the fully independent master of all the senses. Therefore, all women who worship you by strictly observing vows because they wish to acquire a husband to satisfy their senses are... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to read the purport. In this verse, Lakshmi Devi, Rama, shows compassion toward women who worship the Lord for the benediction of possessing a good husband. Although such women desire to be happy with children, wealth, a long duration of life and everything dear to them, they cannot possibly do so. In the material world, a so-called husband is dependent on the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many examples of a woman whose husband, being dependent on the result of his fruitive actions, cannot maintain his wife, her children, her wealth, or her duration of life. Therefore, factually, the only real husband of all women is Krishna, the supreme husband. Because the gopis were liberated souls, they understood this fact. Therefore, they rejected their material husbands and accepted Krishna as their real husband. Krishna is the real husband not only of the gopis, but of every living entity. Everyone should perfectly understand that Krishna is the real husband of all living entities, who are described in the Bhagavad Gita as Prakriti, female, not Purusha, male. In Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, text 12, only Krishna is addressed as Purusha. Param Brahma Param Dhamam Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevam Ajam Vibhum. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and the purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. Krishna is the original Purusha and the living entities are Prakriti. Thus, Krishna is the enjoyer and all living entities are meant to be enjoyed by Him. Therefore, any woman who seeks a material husband for her protection or any man who desires to become the husband of a woman is under illusion. To become a husband means to maintain a wife and children nicely by supplying wealth and security. However, a material husband cannot possibly do this, for he is dependent on his karma. Karmana daiva netrena. His circumstances are determined by his past fruitive activities. Therefore, if one proudly thinks he can protect his wife, he is under illusion. Krishna is the only husband, and therefore the relationship between a husband and wife in this material world cannot be absolute. Because we have the desire to marry, Krishna mercifully allows the so-called husband to possess a wife and the wife to possess a so-called husband for mutual satisfaction. In the Ishopanishad, it is said, Tena tyaktena bunjita, the Lord provides everyone with His quota. Actually, however, every living entity is Prakriti or female and Krishna is the only husband. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Rasabha Vritya Yare Yachena Chaya Seitare Karan Nitya Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela 5.142. Krishna is the original master or husband of everyone and all other living entities have taken the form of so-called husbands or wives are dancing according to his desire. The so-called husband may unite with his wife for sense gratification, but his senses are conducted by Hrishikesha, the master of the senses, who is therefore the actual husband. If you like to repeat the translation, my dear Lord, you are certainly the fully independent master of all the senses. Therefore, all women who worship you by strictly observing vows because they wish to acquire a husband to satisfy their senses, are surely under illusion. They do not know that such a husband cannot actually give protection to them or their children, nor can he protect their wealth or duration of life. For he himself is dependent on time, fruitive results, and the modes of nature, which are all subordinate to you. Maam Shankaraya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayaptaka Swami Kinamine Nama Acharyapadayam Taikupadayani Gavpatadamadaya Nagaragramadayani Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarane Mukakaroti Vachalam Pangoram Gayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Mande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Panchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the assembled devotees who are like desire trees, who are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Dear Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, thank you very much for coming here today. I seek your blessings to share a few points on this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And today is also the auspicious appearance day of Vakreshwar Pandit. So the class will be divided between this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and some glories about Vakreshwar Pandit. So, in this verse, there is basically for us, what is in it for us? There is a sense of duty. What are we supposed to do now that we are already husbands and wives? And on another side is the principle of detachment. So, principle of detachment versus principle of duty. There is this beautiful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bajahu Re Mana song. And in that, in one paragraph, Bhaktivinoda Thakur basically describes this whole verse. And he says, Yedanna jauvana putra parijana Yete kiyache paratitire. How can we have assurance from family life, from wealth, from our youth? How can we get assurance from these things? Why? Kamala dala jala jivana tala mala bajahu hari pada nitire. Because all these things, youth, wealth, family, all these things, they are like a drop of water on the lotus. What is the problem with the drop of water on the lotus? It's about to fall any second. Jivana talamala. It's so insecure. Very flickering. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur compares our materialist existence, all the dependency on all these things. Actually, all these things, if we look at our desire, they're all anti-material desires, actually speaking. Because material means temporary. Birth, death, old age, disease. This is material. Spiritual means eternal, happiness, bliss, Satchidananda. If we actually look at our desires, we want what? Permanent happiness. We want to enjoy our life always. We don't want material happiness which is actually temporary, flickering. We want it always. We want to be blissful always. So if we deeply look at these desires, why it's the Kamala Dala Jala? Because our own desires are anti-material. And if we try to satisfy those desires through material, it does not give us satisfaction. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one like capsule. It's a capsule of this verse. Now, there is a... I'll keep quoting some verses, some songs from some Vaishnava Acharyas from South India, from the Madhva line, because I grew up with those songs. There is this beautiful... It's called Uga Boga. It's like verses that they composed in order for normal human beings, ordinary human beings, to understand the essence of God consciousness. So in one of the things he says, Sudati makala bhagya bayosodunara chitta maduve agadiruvudu hari chitta vaiya. So he's saying that lot of people, they have desires. These desires, same, Kamala Dalajala desires. I want a good family, I want good children. Basically, all the things that Mahaprabhu said that we should not want. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim. But we want those things. That's actually the description of this. I want this, I want that. But the beauty of God consciousness is, as soon as we understand, well, wait a minute, I may desire this. Hari Chitta Satya, what is the desire of the Lord Hari? Only that will happen. So therefore, in today's situation, if we look at our own lives, we may want a certain type of a husband and we may not have. We may want a certain type of wife and we may not have. We may want to get married and we're not married. Or we don't want to be married and we're married. So all these things exist. So this is the essence of the song, where he says, you may desire, I want this, I want that, I don't want this, I don't want that. Like Krishna says to Arjuna, Icha Dvesha Samudvena, I like this, I don't like this. This may exist, but the point is, it will be as the Lord wishes, Hari Chitta Satya. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, this Krishna actually has given us our quota. So we only get our quota. So this is the point about karma. We are all controlled by karma. I often hear a lot of complaints from Matajis, from Prabhus, men, women. Often this complaint of, oh, my wife is not good enough. My husband is not good enough. My husband is not what Srimad Bhagavatam describes. No? Well, that's another thing. If he is, then also they'll have a complaint, but they are not. And then I often, you know, I'm thinking, but you know, it's not really the problem of the Prabhu. It's actually your problem. Why? Because it's not your karma. Because if it is your karma, you'll have it. If it is not, it's not. So having a good husband, material husband who can help us in our Krishna consciousness directly, is mercy. But let us clarify, not having a supportive husband, not having the husband we desire, is also mercy. Why? Because it's a direct mercy, actually. Because one is indirect mercy, another is like direct mercy. Krishna is actually telling, waking us up and saying, look, you're having problems with your husband, you're not getting enough attention from your husband, you're not getting enough support from your husband. Krishna, being our eternal husband, is saying, I'm also not getting attention from you. You're also not giving me enough attention. So I'm giving you this situation so you can connect back with me. We all have this experience. It could be with our husband or wife or friends or relationships in general. When we face some kind of dissatisfaction, it's actually a reflection of Krishna's dissatisfaction about us. Because he wants us back. He loves us. So when we turn away, he's in pain. Just like, you know, when we cut our nail a little too much, then what we should really hurts. You have that experience? A little bit too much. So Krishna is facing pain when we are in this Kamala Dalajala suffering. Instead of focusing on eternal, we are focusing on these things. And in the verse, Prabhupada is saying that there are many examples of men not being able to protect the women. What are these examples? Let's look at it. One example is Draupadi, the famous example. I mean, having Pandavas as the husband, I don't think it gets better than that. Five most powerful men that you can possibly imagine, and five. But when she was dragged by Dushyasana in the assembly, she was humiliated. The husbands were right in front of Draupadi. They were clenching their fists and biting their lips, and they were unable to do anything. Until actually Krishna could come and supply the unlimited amount of sari to protect Draupadi. Then we also see in Srimad Bhagavatam the story of Nala Maharaj and Damayanti. I won't get into the stories, but just to give some examples of what Prabhupada means of example. Nala Maharaj, we can actually meditate on such great qualities there. But even he had to leave his wife and go away in the middle of the night. Then we have examples of those who were closely associated with Lord Krishna. Subhadra Devi lost Abhimanyu in the battlefield, where all the Pandavas were right on the battlefield. Draupadi, she lost the Upa Pandavas, the five children of the Pandavas. They were all murdered. So The point is, even with the husband, we should not think that we are safe in this material world. And sometimes we think, you know, the mind, when Krishna, when Prabhupada is saying here, because the gopis were liberated, they rejected their material husbands. Are we supposed to do the same thing? No. We have to reject that mind, which is actually cranky and causing us problems, giving us all kinds of weird ideas about how to fix our life. Sometimes we think, why Krishna cannot change? Actually, I have many, many clients, many people I counsel, they often come to me and say, but why? I'm practicing Krishna consciousness. Why Krishna doesn't change my karma? Why I cannot have a good husband? Okay, first of all, why Krishna should change it for us? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna actually is assuring us. What does he say? He's going to carry us. He's going to give us what we lack and preserve what we have. Ananyas chintayantoma yejanas pariyupasate. So, tesham nityabhyuktanam yoga kshema mahamim. He's promising yoga kshema. He's promising that protection. He's going to give us what we lack. We may lack surrender. We may lack humility. Right? We may lack all the good qualities. And he will give us situation to strengthen that. Another verse, very important verse. Machitta sarva durgani mat prasada tarishasi. So if you become conscious of me, listen to this carefully what Krishna says. You will pass all the conditions of life. Please note, he does not say, I will remove all the difficult conditions. He says, you will pass all the conditions of life. But if you do not hear me and act out of false ego, you will be lost. This is Arjuna. He's saying, if you act in my consciousness, then I'll give you the strength to overcome. So are we conscious in our situations, whether we have something or we don't have something we like? Are we conscious of Krishna? Are we seeing him as he's my protector? He's going to give me the right situations. Do we have that faith? He's promising. He's going to give it to us. Okay. Another important point here is the balance between the principle of detachment, which is the point of this verse, and principle of duty, because we are bound by duty. We have to differentiate between internal and external, because Prabhupada is very clearly saying they were gopis, were liberated souls, so we cannot imitate the liberated souls. We have to do the samanvaya again. Samanvaya means synthesis, a balance between the two. How to practically apply these principles? What do we do? I mean, this verse is mostly about women. So, how do we see our men as our protectors, but at the same time understand that they're not the protectors? How do we do this? First thing is, practically speaking, not to like too much become a burden to the husband, holding on to his dhoti all the time, keep repeating, I'll go back to Godhead because I'm holding your dhoti. And, you know, another extreme, why this is funny, we laugh? Because it may sound like submission, but are we trying to escape from our duties? Are we trying to escape from becoming more aware of Krishna consciousness by just depending on the husband? Or are we trying to be lazy and have a justification for our dullness? Say, no, I'll remain dull and submissive and I'll go back to Godhead because I'm holding the dhoti of my husband. Is that what it means? Because that's one extreme, to think in that particular way. Or another extreme is to say, I will become a, they will not say the word feminist, but basically the mentality of feminism, to say neglect the duties, and they say, they quote often without understanding what Rukmini Devi actually means. They say, this Prabhu is just a bag of bones, you know, he doesn't have mustache, but he has a shika, but he's just a bag of bones. And they want to remove the verses where in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita it says women are less intelligent, and hold up the flag of liberation. That's another extreme. So both of this does not help us to accept Krishna as our husband. We need that balance. We have to actually do that samanvaya of seeing, I have this particular situation, this person is my husband or this person is my wife, how do I deal with this? I mean, we'll come to the how the men have to deal, but let's have a little closer look at why the synthesis is important. Srila Prabhupada, our very dear founder Acharya, he actually gave different instructions which seems apparently contradictory. For example, he said, Mataji, in letters, in conversations, Prabhupada said to some women, he said, women should churn butter and take care of the kitchen, right? Yes, Prabhupada said that, we cannot deny it. Should make garlands, which we're doing, very nice. And he also said in other situations to other ladies, you should go and defeat the scholars. You should argue with the professors. We cannot deny, but Prabhupada said that. So he said both these instructions. To who? At what circumstance? And which of that does apply to which woman? We have to also see that. That is the principle of Samanvaya. Not to catch some lady who's married in New York and she's a high court judge and say, hey, sorry, go back, roll chapatis and please your husband give up your job. I don't know if she will be inspired to become Krishna conscious. Okay, then the next point is Prabhupada also gave a lot of importance to family life, how we should take care of our family, our children. He wrote letters where he told the Mataji, you have to take care of your child like a deity. It's your deity. And Prabhupada also wrote letters to several Matajis, beautiful letter, and he says, oh, all of you have children and all of you are sitting home taking care of these children. Why don't one of you take care of these children and the rest of you go and do Sankirtan? Prabhupada said also this. So the point is not to get attached to a particular instruction which it's comfortable for us. Maybe making garlands is very easy for us and we don't want to stretch. And therefore we say, no, I'm a very good wife, I want to only make garlands. Because, you know what I mean? So the point is to have that balance. Try to identify our nature and have that peace and that cooperation and do what Krishna wants us to do. On the other side, for the Prabhuji's side, sometimes there's this verse which says, Ganda madida punya hindatige samapalu hindati madida punya gandanigilla. The pious activities that a man performs, the wife gets part of it. But the pious activities that the woman performs, the husband doesn't get anything of it. Okay. Hindati madida papa gandanige ganda madida papa hindatiyadalla. The wife, when she commits sinful activities or any mistakes, it's completely the responsibility of the husband. He has to suffer the consequences. But if the husband performs any wrong actions or sinful reactions, the wife does not get any part in it. Tonda rakshaka achalananda vitala nee ganda na hindati. But this is the essence. Please don't conclude with the previous sentence. Please listen to the translation of the next. It says, Achalananda Vitala, O one who never falters, O infallible Achyutananda, Krishna, you are my husband and I am your wife, therefore. Because which material husband can actually take this responsibility and deliver me from this material existence? In fact, Prabhupada is saying here, everyone should perfectly understand that Krishna is a real husband of all living entities, not only of women, also of men. And as husbands, I mean, we believe in reincarnation. Women also, we have been husbands before, so it's not like too, don't have to be too, it's not something too new. As husbands, if we focus, this is my wife, this is my children, this is my house, then the natural tendency is to take advantage of it or take it for granted, see them as property, and we may neglect them, avoid them, maybe even cheat on them. This propensity can be there. So the proper attitude according to the scriptures is to actually develop this attitude of, this lady is a Vaishnavi whose husband is actually Krishna, so I should take care of her, deal with her, respect her in such a way that the real husband of hers will be happy. This is actually the right attitude. I mean, one story is when once Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was approached by an Indian man, tall, big, newly married, with his wife. He approaches Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and he says, Maharaj Ji, I just got married. Please give us some instruction. You know, Indian men are generally a little bit more macho and strong by nature. And the wife was in the side, covering her face, standing there. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, okay, every day make sure you pay obeisances to her. So this is actually Vaishnava attitude, because when we are talking about husband and wife from a normal perspective, even Vedic perspective, then all this verse which says the sinful activities committed by wife is taken by the husband and whatever, but when we talk about Vaishnava perspective, then it changes, the rules of the game changes. Then it becomes like partnership. It becomes like you respect each other, because we have to think of the consequences of taking service from a Vaishnava, a Vaishnavi in this case. Do we know the consequences? It's just a question. I'm not going to get too much into that. There is one beautiful letter by Srila Prabhupada. I mean, right now also there's this discussion going on in internet and other places about how the husband is the spiritual master of the woman. And I was just researching to basically it was connecting to this verse, and this is what Prabhupada wrote to in a letter to Shilavati, 1969, in June. The actual system is that husband is the spiritual master to his wife. But if the wife can bring her husband into practicing this process, then that's all right. The husband accepts his wife as spiritual master. So if you show the women of the community how to help their husbands and children to perfect in all aspects of life, it will improve the conditions of the neighboring communities to an incalculable extent. So try for this as far as possible. There are many examples in scriptures which gives us inspiration to see ourselves not as the body, but to try to help each other as Vaishnavas, to accept Krishna as our real master. There is one story of the Purandara Dasa, the one I quote often, the songs of. He's considered to be Narada Muni. He's an Acharya in the Madhva line. And he was very materialistic for most of part of his life. It's a pastime of a great devotee. And at one point, without getting detailed of the story, he has this huge realization. He realizes who he is. Then, you know how the realization comes? It comes through the wife. So the first song, this great Acharya who composed 25,000 songs, the first song he composed was on the wife. He said, Hendati santati savira vagali dandige betta hidisi dalaiya gopala butti hidiyuvudakke mande nachi nadeyutalitte gopala butti hidisi dalaiya. So he's making this connection, the relationship of how he got connected with his master through this Vaishnavi who was his wife. He says, may her glories be spread. May women like this give birth to many children and purify this world, because she made me hold the danda. She made me hold the cup of, the begging pot, which I was fearing to. So she has now become my teacher in showing me this path. So if we can maintain this mentality of samanvaya, of that balance, the woman trying to see the Prabhu as God-sent gift to help them in their social protection and friendship, and if the man can see the women as a gift of the Lord, then, like Prabhupada says, the community will have incalculable benefit. Okay. We have to be careful about our desires. So this is the conclusion of the focus here. What should be our focus? Should it be, oh, I did not get the husband who is good looking, so you know, we keep that as a deep desire, and then next life you get a really gorgeous husband or wife, but they are dull-headed, and then the desire develops, oh, I wish I had an intelligent husband or wife, okay, you know, that desire remains in the heart. Next lifetime, get an intelligent person, but he's always into the books that he doesn't even look at you except when you bring prasadam or something. Then another desire develops. Is this what we want to keep continuing? Is like that story of the mouse and the sage. Become a mouse again. This mouse had this strong desire. Oh, I want to get rid of this cat who's always attacking me. Please, sage, help me. Okay, he turned it into a cat. Okay, he went around and then the dog chased him. Then the dog, he comes back as a dog. Please, my dear sage, make me a dog because this dog is troubling me. Okay, a dog again. Then the lion attacks him. Oh, please, sage, one more time. Help me, make me a lion. Then he makes him into a lion and he tries to eat the sage. Go back, be a mouse again. So this could have been our story as well. I could have been a man and then a woman before and then the man. You know, the desire kept changing and keep coming back. And today our husband is a man. Next life he may be a woman. Another may be a dog. We don't know. Don't know. So the point is the focus. So what is the focus? Again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Dulabamanava janama satsange chapala supala bala gire. So the point should be, utilize this human form of life, which is very rare. And let's let Krishna disentangle us from all these material desires. And don't, let's not stop Krishna and say, no, 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 wait Krishna, you know, one more lifetime, let me enjoy, you know, next lifetime you come back and give me. Let's let Krishna disentangle us. It'll be a little painful because the chains are binding us for too long, but it will be worth it to go through that. Okay, so let's focus on that. Then I'd like to share a few interesting characteristics of Vakreshwar Pandit. Vakreshwar Pandit was a very dear associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vakreshwara Pandita Prabhur Bada Priya Britya Eka Bhavi Chabis Prahara Yandra Nritya. Vakreshwar Pandit is the fifth branch of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree. He could dance constantly in ecstasy for 72 hours. Haribo! And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said this about Vakreshwar Pandit. His heart is the personal abode of Sri Krishna. And as Sri Krishna dances, so Vakreshwara also dances. Apane Mahaprabhu Gayanra Nritya Kale Prabhu Racharana Dhari Vakreshwara Bole. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so pleased with Vakreshwara Pandit. Vakreshwara Pandit grabs hold of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and he is asking Mahaprabhu. What he's asking? Dasha sahasra gandharva more deha chandra mukha taragaya bhoi na chittabe mora sukha. He's saying, oh moon faced Mahaprabhu, oh chandra mukha, please give me 10,000 gandharvas. Let me sing, let them sing as I dance. Then I will be greatly happy. Because gandharvas can continuously sing for days and days. So he wanted Mahaprabhu to give him 10,000 so that he could dance continuously. So what did Mahaprabhu say? Prabhu bole tumi mora paka eka shakha akashe uditama yadi paya raka paka. So Mahaprabhu is saying, oh Vakreshwar Pandit, you are like one wing to me. I wish I had another wing and I would fly very high in the sky. So poetic description of how attached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to Vakreshwar Pandit. And Vakreshwar Pandit is said to be the Amsha or the incarnation of Tunga Vidya Sakhi as well as Aniruddha. So it's a combination of Aniruddha and Tunga Vidya Sakhi. Vakreshwar Pandit was with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for a long time in Jagannath Puri. He was I could not find anywhere, I researched whether he was married or not, it wasn't even mentioned anywhere, I did not find. So that clicked to me, according to the verse, ultimately it's irrelevant. Because, you know, the relationship with the Lord is more important. And Vakreshwar Pandit's worshipable deity, it's mentioned in Adi Leela, was Shri Shri Radha Radha Kanta, which deity still worship today. If we go to Kashi Mishra's house in Gambira, we can still see this deity of Vakreshwar Pandit. One very important pastime of Vakreshwar Pandit is very relevant to us, because if we take shelter of Vakreshwar Pandit, we can be relieved of offenses. This is a story between Devananda Pandit, who was actually Bhagavate Devananda Vakreshwara Kripate Bhagavate Bhakti Artha Pale Prabhu Haite. Devananda Pandit was a professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like his interpretations, because his interpretations were Mayavada interpretations. And he committed a particular offense. We'll tell what it was. And that offense could only be contracted, not even by taking shelter of Mahaprabhu. Only because of Vakreshwar Pandit's mercy, he got relieved of this. So what happened was, Devananda Pandit one day was giving this fantastic class, Srimad Bhagavatam class, and Srivas Thakur, being very eager to hear this Bhagavatam classes, he went and sat down where Devananda Pandit was speaking. And Srivas Thakur entered into ecstatic mood hearing the pastimes, and he started crying and weeping. As soon as some of the immature disciples of Vakreshwar Pandit, Devananda Pandit saw the Srivas Thakur doing this, they immediately grabbed him and they threw him out of the assembly. And Devananda Pandit looked at it and he did nothing. He was just quiet. Imagine the scene, actually. It's already scary. Then Mahaprabhu was visiting. The next day he came around. And when he had heard what had happened, how Devananda Pandit had allowed Srivas Thakur to be thrown out, Mahaprabhu immediately became angry. And he said he will not give his mercy. Actually, Devananda Pandit was not even aware, or he did not have complete faith that Mahaprabhu is God. He didn't even have that. So what happened little later was, Vakreshwar Pandit came around, being this fantastic dancer. He started to dance one day where this whole big crowd started to gather around Vakreshwar Pandit, making it difficult for Vakreshwar Pandit to dance, because, you know, when you dance, you need space, right? So Vakreshwar Pandit was dancing, and immediately Devananda Pandit had heard this great devotee Vakreshwar Pandit is coming here, and he was dancing. So he took a stick and he kept the crowd away. And he allowed, you know, when Vakreshwar Pandit starts dancing, you never know how long it takes. So Devananda Pandit held the sticks and protected the ecstasy of Vakreshwar Pandit. So after hours and hours and hours of dancing, Vakreshwar Pandit finally sits down. Krishna. And then Devananda Pandit comes there, pays his obeisances. Immediately Vakreshwar Pandit becomes pleased. And he says to Devananda Pandit, "Oh, I bless you." I'll tell you exactly what he says. He says, Krishna Bhakti Hok. This is what Vakreshwar Pandit told Devananda Pandit. "May you attain devotion to Lord Krishna." From that day, devotion was awakened in the heart of Devananda by the mercy of Vakreshwar Pandit. Then after that, when Mahaprabhu was passing through Nadia, he was going to visit Ganga and his mother Sachi Devi. He actually saw Devananda, and he had heard what had happened in between Devananda and Vakreshwar, this is in Kuliya. So this is what Mahaprabhu said. "Because you have served Vakreshwar, I have noticed you. Vakreshwar is fully imbued with the Lord's transcendental energy, and whoever becomes devoted to him attains the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. His heart is the personal abode of Sri Krishna. And as Sri Krishna dances, so Vakreshwar also dances. Wherever one can get the association of Vakreshwar, that place is the sum total of all holy places and is as good as Vaikuntha." So after this, he became part of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So one time, this is a beautiful pastime where Mahaprabhu performs a miracle. This is a kirtan miracle. "Bahukshane Nrityakari Prabhu Stira Haila." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing for a very long time, and suddenly he stopped. He became still. Then he started looking around him. And there were four great personalities in every group, kirtan group. each of them dancing. There were different devotees. Ara sampradayena cha pandit vakrishvara shrivasana che ara sampradaya ara sampradaya bitara. So there was one group where Vakrishar Pandit was dancing. On the other side, Shrivas Pandit was in the middle dancing. And then the other two sides were Nityananda Prabhu dancing and Advaita Acharya. So there's four groups. So Mahaprabhu, he wanted to look at all of them. So what did he do? Madhyarahi Mahaprabhu Karena Darshana. He stood right in the center and then he watched them. Immediately, Mahaprabhu stood there and all the dancers perceived that Mahaprabhu was looking at them. It was such an ecstatic moment that all of them understood that Mahaprabhu was performing this miracle. But they couldn't understand how he was doing it. And it is said, Pulina bojane yena Krishna madhyasthane chaudikera shaka kahe amarane hane. In his own pastimes of Vrindavan, Lord Krishna used to eat on the banks of Yamuna and he would sit in the center. And everyone, all the coward boys, they perceived that Krishna was looking at them. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu observed the dancing and everybody saw that he was looking at them. This is a beautiful pastime Mahaprabhu performed. Then what happened? Tumultuous vibrations of Sankirtan resounded all around. Good fortune immediately awakened and the sound penetrated the whole universe through the 14 planetary systems. This ecstatic kirtan. Kirtan deke sabar mana haila chamatkara kabu nahi deke ache premera vikara. A miracle happened in the hearts of people. They had never ever seen or felt such love manifested during kirtan. So from this pastime we can take inspiration. What is that inspiration? To give Krishna consciousness to others. Because our family is kamala dala jala, family life, okay, our thing. But when we focus on the people who are really suffering, forgotten their real identity, to give them Krishna consciousness. How? Shravana kirtana smarana vandana. There are different processes of devotional service we can give to people. So from this we need to understand that it is not kirtana 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 kirtana, it's shravana kirtana smarana vandana. So very important is also to hear, because if we do not hear, how do we understand the importance of kirtan? If we do not, because hearing, Parikshit Maharaj, he did not sit in Kirtan Mela, but he was in Kirtan Mela. Srimad Bhagavatam was Kirtan Mela for him. So because he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So we need to know what Kirtan also means is glorifying Krishna's pastimes in such a way that people can take up to Krishna consciousness. I actually had this realization a few days ago how Mahaprabhu's mercy has manifested in such a way that he's not copyright only for ISKCON. Mahaprabhu's mercy is extending everywhere. The yoga scene is becoming more and more popular in the world. Why? It's because of Mahaprabhu. It's because of the golden age. That kirtan that Mahaprabhu did, it's still resounding in 14 planetary systems. And it's going to be there for 10,000 years. So we are not only the enjoyers of this pastimes, but like I said, the yoga scene is growing. People are becoming more and more sensitive. People are becoming vegetarians. People are becoming vegans. What we need to do, what we need to go and do is take advantage of this. They are all ready. They are ripe for accepting Krishna consciousness. They only do not yet know what they need to exactly sing. But kirtan yoga is becoming very popular. The Jehovah Witnesses are growing, the Christians are growing, Muslims are growing. We sometimes become little selfish and we just want to sit in our own bubble and our own little home, our comfort. We don't want to actually go and dance. Dance is not only in our temple in front of the deities. Dancing means giving ourselves completely. to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Vakreshwar Pandit pleased by giving that preaching. He inspired people. So our duty is also to our family members, maybe they are not yet devotees, maybe going back to your place when you go back. So what we need to do is not bang them with the philosophy, because Mahaprabhu's movement is compassion. They just need friendship. Oh, I'm worshipping Ganesh. Oh, very nice, you're worshipping Ganesh. Shiva, oh Shiva, very good. Shiva is Parama Vaishnava. And Ganesh, you know, he keeps the lotus feet of Nrisingadeva on his head. This is wonderful. We have common ground, you know. Let's now talk about Nrisingadeva and Ganesh. Instead of banging them and say, hey, demigod worship, you know, it's temporary, you'll not get benefit. It doesn't really inspire, right? Or other people who are performing other types of yoga system, they are ripe. Sometimes they are even more ripe than our devotees. Because if you give them the mantra, the way they chant, the way they dance, it looks like they got Vakreshwar Pandit's mercy. So this is something I wanted to share, that we need to take inspiration from these pastimes to dedicate our lives, because Mahaprabhu's name is going to be spread. Prithvite ate jati nagaradigram sarvatra prachar hoibe moranam. That prediction is going to happen. Do we want to be a part of it? That's the question. So thank you very much. We will leave 10 minutes for questions or comments. Shri Vakreshwar Pandit Appearance Day Mahotsav Ki Jai. Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any comments, questions? Yes, Prabhuji, can I come in, Prabhu? You, sorry, the last sentence?
I get a very joyful feeling when I see that. It's a very important thing,
yes. Thank you. Yeah, Prabhu is saying how important dancing is. He feels very happy when devotees are ecstatically dancing, giving themselves fully. One of the last classes I quoted about this verse, which says, Malagi parama daradi padalu kulitu keluva. Kulitu padalu niluva, nintare naliva, nalidare voliva. This verse is saying, if you lie down and call out the holy names, Krishna will sit down and listen to us eagerly. If we sit down and chant the holy names, he will stand up and listen to us eagerly. If we stand up and listen, he starts dancing. If we dance, Krishna becomes our own. He immediately becomes pleased, just like he was pleased with Vakreshwar Pandit. Dancing is Pada Sevanam, right? Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
I just want to ask, what is the meaning, if you know, what is the meaning of the word Vakreshwar? And we have Vakreshwari Mataji here, so Was there any associate of Lord Chaitanya whose name was Vakreshwari? Means lady.
I'm not sure any devotees here would like to answer that question. Maybe Vakreshwari Mataji, she must be expert. Microphone, please.
I just know something a little bit about my name. It's just the name of, in my case, it's Srimati Radharani, which consists of two actually parts. Vakra means Krishna, who has threefold bending form, staying like this with his flute. And Ishvari, that means Srimati Radharani controls him. Controller means Srimati Radharani, who controls Krishna, who has threefold bending form.
Yeah, thank you.
It's one of the names.
It's Kannada. It's Purandara Dasa is a Vaishnavacharya in the Madhva Sampradaya line. he is considered to be Narada Muni's incarnation. If you do Google encyclopedia, you will see Purandaradasa. He is called the father of Carnatic music, and he is also called Dasarendra Purandara Dasaraya. Means he is like the star among the Dasas, means among the servants of Lord Vishnu, he is like the star. So he was a very, very rich person, was a big businessman. At that time he had 9 crores. This is at the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One interesting thing is when Mahaprabhu came in West Bengal, he met Mahaprabhu, by the way. Purandaradasa met Mahaprabhu in South India when Mahaprabhu was there. One interesting thing is when Mahaprabhu arrived in Navadvip, when he was born here, great devotees started to take birth in different places. And these were all associates of the Lord. They were preparing the world for Sankirtan. Not necessarily Gaudiya line, but Mahaprabhu was basically spreading it already. So when Mahaprabhu touched the earth, so many of them touched the earth. So this is one of the Acharya who also came to spread this Harinam. Because at that time, caste system was very prevalent. And Purandaradasa is one of the foremost Acharyas who basically said, what is all this caste? What is this kula, kula, kula? Kula means this caste system. What is all this? We are all humans. We are of the same blood. We are the same bones. We actually are all servants of the Lord. So he propagated the same thing as Mahaprabhu did. He kept all this Vedic things away, and he actually established a transcendental Vedic rules. Yes, Patita Pantru.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your nice class. And just a comment about your mentioning about the importance of preaching and sharing this with others. And thank you for that. It's actually very, very important. You're mentioning about how people are suffering. We should go out in this mood of dancing, not just the physical dancing, but the mood of just giving. And Prabhupada and the previous Acharyas and all the great devotees, like yesterday was the Vyas Puja of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, all the great devotees who assisted Prabhupada, have created this wonderful transcendental place and places where we can be, which we should be, and take advantage. That's why they work so hard. At the same time, because we're here, we're protected, we're like in a little bubble. Sometimes we forget how much the people out there are just like Prabhupada explained, the people, they have zero, and then two zeros, three, all zero. And if you put one in the front, Krishna becomes 10, 100. But like when we go out preaching, the people, they're just... So anyway, somehow or other, it's very, very important, like you were mentioning, that we don't forget this point. That the Acharyas didn't come just to save us only, but to that we need to assist Prabhupada and the previous Acharyas in trying to somehow or other bring them some of the mercy. So anyway, thank you. Just telling a few more.
Thank you.
Point.
Yeah, actually, Prabhu is actually the battlefield preacher. He goes out there, gets people from Kolkata, inspires them. We all have different talent, different nature, different quality. We can sit down in Mayapur, in our room, in front of our laptop and preach to thousands of people. You write something inspiring on Twitter, on Facebook, you preach it. You write a blog, you talk to people, you know, do these programs where video conferencing with giving class or something. So actually our desire to remain in the Dham can remain. But at the same time, we can do a lot of preaching or assist those who are preaching, give them financial help, give them inspiration, motivation. Because ultimately, all these souls are suffering out there. It's not like we are devotees, they are karmis. In Mahaprabhu's mood, it doesn't work like that. Bhakti can come to anyone. Anybody who's been eating whatever he wants to eat or doing all nonsense could come. Bhakti can come. So we have to see that he, that person who's suffering out there, is his, means Krishna's part and parcel. So when he or they are suffering, Krishna is also feeling the pain, because we are all parts and parcels. So if we could actually extend that compassion outside our comfort zone and try to do something extra, then I've seen in devotees' life, their own problems get automatically resolved. Because the more we focus inside our own, we get entangled. When we try to help others, Krishna says, oh, he's bringing back my lost daughter, my lost son. I'll help this devotee's family as well. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Vakreshwar Pandit appearance day ki. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai.